Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is November 11th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on a donation tab on the top right-hand side of a website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading last week. We read the Gospel of John, chapter 2. This week will be chapter 3, read by Alexander Scorby. Gospel of John.
Chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
Okay, Dan, do we have any questions or announcements?
I'd like to remind people that the Red Pill University Expo is next Saturday and Sunday, and it's absolutely, completely, and totally free. It's going to be run as a live stream. Anybody that wants to sign up can go to the redpilluniversity.org/expo-registration/. If they just want to see the list of speakers and their topics and a little bit about the speakers, you just go to the redpilluniversity.org and it's all there. So I would strongly encourage anybody that has never attended one, or somebody that has and would like to see another one, and it's totally free, go ahead and go to the redpilluniversity.org and sign up. It should be a very interesting group of talks. I have one question for you tonight, John, although it has a couple facets. This is about advertising for a committee of safety. And it says, we are small, but are ready to advertise monthly meetings, time, and location. What is the best way of doing this? As of now, we are thinking about creating a Facebook group for our county. But anyone can be a member, no matter what county you live in. And make it private for members only to post, but visible to the public to find. If anyone has a different way, I'm open to any suggestions.
All right, well, a couple of things. First of all, you can contact Jan and get a list of people within their state, and they can potentially find people that are in their counties. And even people in nearby counties, because sometimes you can connect with them and work things out where there's more than one committee of safety starting at the same time, or at least people are starting to try to start a committee of safety in another county, and one county can assist another. It's an important that we work with our sister counties and establish a relationship with them. I mean, each county is different in the sense it has their own unique problems. But we also have a lot of problems that we share, and that's where we need to connect to try to discuss ideas and different ways that we might want to approach different things. You want to probably approach different kind of other groups. It could be liberty groups, or it could be any kind of a group of people doing anything within your county. Gun clubs are good to approach, and try to get a presentment going where you can present the county committee of safety. We've laid out a lot of information on how to do this. First of all, we have a copy of that presentment right here on the front page. It's about an hour and a couple of minutes long. But we also have a... let me see if I can find that video. It should still be up here. I don't see it at the moment. I have to go look for it later. But also, there's lots of information and lots of tools and lots of different things and lots of different ideas that you can find if you go to Start a Committee of Safety and come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. And by the way, the queue is open if anybody's got a question or a comment. They can get into the queue. It's a *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and if you're on an app or a browser, should be a button there to get into the queue. Okay, anyway, we have these handbook documents. I do read this from time to time. I think we might have read it last week, but I'll read it now again. Handbooks, documents, videos, and PowerPoints for your County Committee of Safety meetings. And it says here, the following series of videos will teach succinctly how to introduce, create, and run a committee of safety. These videos, or PowerPoints, we've got both, should be played as you organize your committee of safety. You should print out copies of the charter and the resolution to hand out to all committee members. And after playing the video, discuss additional information you might want to add. You'll find that as time goes by, you will add addendums to the charter and the resolution, these video PowerPoints, and many other videos, PDFs, Microsoft Words, and many more tools are available below the videos for download. After forming the Committee of Safety, some members will join after you have played some of, or all of these instructional videos. You should send your new members to nationallibertyalliance.org/handbooks. Which will bring them to this page, to catch up and be informed of the Committee of Safety plan, structure, and duties for each subcommittees. Now, of course, this is about running the Committees of Safety, but also at the same time, again, you want to do a presentment. So the first video we have here is the presentment, and that's where you want to try to kind of try to gather people together in one place. There are different venues you can use. You can go to City Hall, Town Hall, or whatever the case may be. Sign up to use that hall for a certain date and time. It is open to the public to be able to use that for, different community things. And the Committee of Safety obviously is a community thing. You can also use libraries. Libraries are very good. In both cases, both of them are usually set up with a screen and a plug-in to be able to run PowerPoints and to run videos. So you do want to try to find a place that has that opportunity. Or you can bring your own equipment. I know I used to bring my own equipment to many different venues, but some venues I would go through to and they would supply the necessary equipment. I just would have to bring the laptop with whatever it is that we're going to show. There's been some places we've gone to where they actually have the computer, the laptop there too. You just got to plug in your, USB drive and, your thumb drive and, play whatever things you want to play off of it. But anyway, we have here, I just want to go through the videos. I just did a new video recently. It's a short one, but I haven't put it up here yet. I'll try to get it up here this week. I don't remember what exactly it was on, but I'm trying to really set a series of videos that shows a process, and I also put them in the order that they should be shown, okay? But it shows the process of the Committee of Safety from the introduction part to the actual creating of the Committee of Safety, the creating and the purposes of the different subcommittees, and so on. So the first one here is an introduction to the Committee of Safety. That should be played the first time when you're having a meeting, a group of people. It's a little over an hour. I think it's an hour and 3 minutes or something like that. And after playing that, you then would open up for a discussion and get people committed to coming to the Committees of Safety meeting. Now, this is kind of the short version. There is a longer version, which should be on our front page, but I'll take a look for that a little later. And you can do something a little more in-depth. But this here, this one presentment, this one video, which is an introduction to the Committee of Safety, I think is sufficient to really kind of get the message out to what it is you're doing. You also, there's a lot of different tools down underneath these videos. All of these videos are available for download. You can download them right off of the website. You can also download the PowerPoints. We have all the PowerPoints. For instance, also you might want to download the two-sided flyer, and this two-sided flyer you'd want to hand out to all of the people that are participating at the presentment. This really gives a good kind of overview of what it is we're doing. what our accomplishments are expected to be, how, what to do now, where to begin, and what to do after. And then, of course, County Committee of Safety will save America, and we give a little bit of an introduction, some information on what exactly it is. So that's really the beginning of things with that. But again, there's lots of tools down here. There's MP4 videos. There's also PDFs. Your first meeting, the very, very first meeting, should be played. These two videos here. It's the Committee of Safety Charter and the Committee of Safety Resolutions. Between the two of them, they're under an hour. Down below here, again, you will find that there is a copy of the charter that is proposed and should be, you should make copies of this, hand it out, and, you know, the video goes through this particular paper here. And also there is resolutions, proposed resolutions. And again, this is just a framework, the beginning, something to get started with, and something, things we should all have in our resolutions and in our charters. But again, there's a lot more things you're going to want to add to this over time. And you shouldn't worry about what you're going to need to add to these things, because as you're having meetings and doing business and doing things, you'll discover, well, we need some kind of a rule, or we need to get this into our charter. We don't want to make a resolution about this, or whatever the case may be. So you'll be adding to this as time goes on. The charter pretty much discusses the purpose of the Committee of Safety and the structure of the Committee of Safety, and what exactly it is you're doing, which is extremely important, because when you go to approach different government agencies, whether it be town, town boards, or going into the village, or city boards, or city government, county government, and of course the first order of business is your sheriff, visiting your sheriff. And you're going to want to at some point maybe visit the state legislators and talk with them, but that you want to wait for a while and kind of connect with other counties. And I would think that when you have at least 50% of the counties with committees of safety working together at that state level, then you can really organize and approach the state legislators and have some conversation with them concerning their legislation, things that are needed and things that maybe they shouldn't be doing, whatever the case may be. We'll work all those things out. Those are things that people will work out as time goes on. But again, we have lots of things. You know, as time goes by, we have a lot of short videos, and some videos are a little long. Some videos are maybe an hour long. Some videos are maybe 40 minutes, some 20 minutes, whatever the case may be. But you should try, especially in the beginning, you should try to make time to have a video play, which is educational, to teach you something. Of course, mostly about the law, government by consent, the important topics that gives us the knowledge and the ability to have government by consent. Like Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Now, we also have the handbooks. And the handbooks, for instance, the County Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook, which is right here, this handbook, the videos kind of follow the handbook, okay? It may structure a little different on how we're working through that. I don't remember. But in any event, it kind of follows the handbook. And the videos refer back to the handbook for further information, further details. So again, this is something that you're going to want to tell everyone to download, and download a PDF copy. Or if they're interested, they can come out to National Liberty Alliance, and under Welcome, they can come down to Books by John Duresh, and they can purchase the handbook. This is a pocket handbook. They're nice-looking handbooks, and it's the same information that's found in the PDF copies. So people don't have to buy this, but some people like the handbooks. You should also purchase, from NCCS. net, I believe it is, pretty sure that's it, for purchasing, you know, a copy of the Constitution, which also has a Declaration of Independence and a lot of quotes inside it from our founding fathers. That's something you can purchase pretty cheap from, I believe it's nccs.net, and you can get 100 of them for, goodness, I just bought 100. I think it was $59, if I recall. Flat fee, $59, and you get 100 of them. And I bought a couple of boxes of those so that when I have meetings, I usually hand out constitutions. We just started a committee of safety in my county here. We've had 3 meetings so far. And I've made sure that everybody gets a copy of that handbook. And, of course, the paperwork that I had mentioned, and I printed it all out and gave them a copy also, a copy of the potential charter, a copy of the resolutions, and then, of course, the flyers. Now, as time goes on, again, it's important that people get a hold of these handbooks in order to follow the structure, the plan. It gives the directions and the information on how to put a committee of safety together, how to structure the different subcommittees and how important they are. So again, the committee, let me go back to the other page. That handbook there, organizing handbook is one, but there's other handbooks here. You know, I would suggest for everybody to download the Pettit Jury Handbook and also the Grand Jury Handbook. This really will liberate you. It'll teach you a lot about common law that everyone should know, okay, because these are the books that we'll be using and handing out when we orientate a grand jury or even a trial jury, a petit jury. And so these handbooks liberate the people. It informs them of their powers and their authorities and their place and in the courts particularly. So they're very important handbooks. These are handbooks that everyone should be reading. Again, you can purchase the pocket handbooks or you can just download them. Again, all these handbooks are available for download. So we have the Grand Jury Handbook and we have the Pettit Jury Handbook. So again, those are important. We also have information on a recall petition. Well, we got a lot of stuff here. I'm not going to get into the details of all of this, but maybe as time goes on, we will, you know, have a conversation and get into some of these details. But there's also the Sheriff's Common Law Handbook, okay? Again, you can download this for your own usage, but I would strongly suggest that on this particular handbook, you're going to want to, well, let me see if I can get to the right page on this. Let me go down here. Again, welcome tab down to books by John Durash. And the Sheriff's Handbook is an important handbook, you know, being written in a booklet form and, you know, published and bound, and it's really a pretty book, is more impressive than running off a PDF, okay? And it's also something that the county sheriff can quickly go through to get an idea of the information. There's other information you want to give the sheriff. But again, this is the handbook for the county sheriff common law handbook. And you can read through this as the information, the details. It's 103 pages. And again, it's a pocket handbook. It's something that, you know, you should at least give, probably get at least a half a dozen of these handbooks for the sheriff, so that the sheriff can have one, the undersheriff can have one, and other key individuals within the sheriff's department that he might want to hand out. You know, again, these are important books, but we also lay out a plan on how to approach the sheriff, what kind of information and the literature needs to be brought to give to that sheriff, which is some of the things we were just talking about. And it prepares the sheriff for the Committee of Safety and what it is we're doing and our expectations of him, you know. Once they read through the literature, and you want to give them time, maybe 4 to 6 weeks, so you have your first meeting with the sheriff for 10 minutes or so. You know, as many people as want to go goes to that meeting. Again, it's only going to be a 10-minute long meeting. You don't want to spend too much time with the sheriff on the first meeting. You're really there just to introduce, give them the literature, And maybe a couple, I'll think about some ideas and thoughts on the first meeting, maybe a couple of questions you might want to ask or whatever, but people can be creative on that. But the real focus on your communications with the sheriff is on your second meeting, because your second meeting is inviting him to come to a Committee of Safety meeting for the purpose of meeting the Committee of Safety, introducing himself to the Committee of Safety, and us introducing ourselves to him and asking him the questions that we need to ask in order to understand whether he is a sheriff that we want to support or not. And that, again, is about 4 to 6 weeks down after you hand the handbook. So I would give him a tentative date and choose a meeting coming up in the future and kind of work that as a potential meeting time and date. And then, of course, if that has to change for some reason, you can always call. But there should be no need for that. But that's giving him time to go through all the literature. It's extremely important, again, to get him copies of that County Sheriff Common Law Handbooks and also the book Government by Consent, okay? Because Government by Consent has a lot of information on it, and there is a chapter on sheriffs which gives a lot of information. It's a large chapter. It's Chapter 5, History of the Sheriff. And gets into the powers, the authorities, expectations. It talks about the courts, our founding documents. It really introduces the sheriff to common law, our founding fathers, and due process. And it instructs the sheriff on the common law, which is pretty much common sense, but the common law, and that we are under common law, that we're a natural law republic and we're not a democracy. And we're expecting a sheriff that's going to stand up for the people and also protect the Constitution. So that's what all this literature will do, the book, and that's why we've got to give him time to digest all that. We expect that he's going to digest all that. And if he comes to the meeting and says, well, I haven't had time to read it, well, then maybe we don't have time to talk to him. Of course, we want to be rude, and we don't want to insult the sheriff, but we'll spend the time with him, and maybe by the end of the time you're spending with him, he'll come to realize that maybe I should be dealing with these people. You know, and again, we expect to build our ranks up. We've got some ideas on how to build our ranks up. So we got a lot of stuff that we've put together. And again, it's a training for all of us. And, you know, many hands make light work. So we got a lot of things to do. But we need a lot of people to do it. You know, we want to expect just a couple of handful of people just doing all the work. And so once we divvy out different things that need to be done, you know, it's a minimum amount of work. It doesn't get overwhelming. I know from introducing and working through building the Committee of Safety in my county, some of the people said this seems to be overloaded with a lot of information. And I tell them, look, basically it's an introduction. There is a lot of information here. You know, just going through and learning this stuff, no one's expected to retain all this stuff. But as time goes on, you'll retain certain things. And people will specialize in different areas. Some people want to get inside the political side. Some people in the judicial side. Some people may want to get into the education committee. You know, and so there's different committees, and people will become, more knowledgeable in certain areas than other areas. But collectively, as we work together, we'll have the knowledge collectively what we need. And of course, National Liberty Alliance is always here for advice and information to answer questions. Particularly, that's why we run a Monday night meeting. And people have to be informed. People have to be educated. And if we want to have government by consent, you have to learn it, because people don't know how to have government by consent. People think that just by voting, that's government by consent. At least that's what the government will tell you. And they have been telling us for a long time. You know, go exercise your right of government by consent. Go make your vote. And don't worry, we'll steal it from you. So, you know, hey, we have to get involved. We have to put these people in check. Remember, we the people are the lawmakers. We ordained, we established the Constitution for them. We're the sovereign. They're to be obedient to us. They're not our masters. We are their masters. And we need to start acting like that and start exercising our powers and authorities. But you can't exercise those powers and authorities if you don't understand them and if you don't know them. They've kept us ignorant for a long time. You know, we see what Trump is doing now. He's really working to free this nation. Anybody that's been following along with all of the work he's been doing, he's already getting peace working throughout the world. I mean, he's president-elect, and he hasn't even entered the office yet. And I'm sure everybody's pretty much following up on a lot of these things. It's just amazing the things that he's really going to be pursuing and has already pursued already. And he's only, what, in power 5-6 days, whatever it is. It's on the 5th or so, yeah, about 5 days. So, again, those are the things to do. But building the Committee of Safety and getting membership, again, that's why you want to present National Liberty Alliance to different liberty groups or different groups within your county. And, again, there's quite a few of them. I think we have a list. I know we have a list here on somewhere down here of different potential groups to bring your the Committee of Safety to. As a matter of fact, I believe we list out different ideas in the handbook. So for more information on that, you can go to the handbook. Let me go back here. Okay, you can go to the handbooks down here and download the you can download the charter, the resolutions, also the seal, the Committee of Safety vow, the two-sided flyers. These are all important. And then the handbooks. Let's see, the handbooks. It's here, the organizing handbook, the committee man handbook, which is mostly political. Okay, the committee man handbook. That's for the political committee. So. Anybody wants to get into queue, by the way, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone and on your app or browser, you should be able to find a button there. We do have a couple of people in there right now, so but anybody's got a question or comment? Okay, just to go through these videos very quickly. One is an introduction to the Committee of Safety, as I mentioned, first order of business. County Committee of Safety Charter and the County Committee of Safety Resolutions, two videos should be played at the same meeting together. They're about an hour long, and it should leave you a good hour for conversation, questions, comments. And don't worry if you can't answer questions. You know, you're just as new as anyone else is, and you can always make that point that and take some notes. If you go through a lot of the handbooks, you'll be prepared to handle a lot of questions, I think. And of course, going through the videos, too. But again, you can always tell them you'll get back to them with an answer, and you can always come to the Monday night meeting here to get answers if you have questions for us. We'll do our best to answer them and give you plenty of information and maybe some places where you can get certain literature or video or whatever the case may be to expound further on the information you're looking for. But anyway, this is really your first meeting that you're structuring. And you're going to try at this point in this meeting or the next meeting, and maybe we'll take both meetings to start to get some leadership together. You're going to want to get a chairman, you want to get a co-chairman, you're going to want to get a secretary, and you want to get a treasurer. You're going to want to try to find someone, a secretary, that has some background as a secretary, because that'll be very helpful. But it's not necessary, but it would be a lot helpful if you can do that. As far as the chairman and the co-chairman, and again, we're all, you know, just learning, so, you know, it's on-the-job learning, so to speak, on-the-job training, and and there's plenty of information to help you move along. Now, on the second meeting, you would share Meet Your Sheriff, the plan for meeting your sheriff. And so this meeting here, you know, again, would be your second meeting, and that would be something do you want to continue, whatever you were working on in the first meeting, continue to look for leadership, people to take seats. And even if people, you know, are reluctant to take those seats, you know, you could suggest, well, look, at least let's get a placeholder, someone that can kind of do things for a while, and when someone else is interested, then they can take the seats. And, of course, you know, you can change these people within those seats any time by popular vote. But, you know, you have to start to structure yourself. So meeting your sheriff, the plan for meeting your sheriff is the first video you want to look into. This is the most important, well, they're all important, but this is one of the most important ones, laying out the plan. some of which I already started talking about a little earlier. Then there's the Education Committee. Okay, that would be the following week. You do that. And this is extremely important. This is the one that's going to grow your Committee of Safety tremendously as time goes on. For instance, in my county, we have 16 school districts. And if we make a plan to visit all 16 school districts, you can get that list right offline. Google it, your town, your county. Well, I mean your state, your county, and the school districts within the county. And you'll get a list, phone numbers and everything. And you'll divvy those out to people, and a couple of people, you know, people make maybe a couple of calls. You know, for instance, we have 16. We have more than 16 people in our group already, so if everyone takes one number, they can call and get the details. You know, what is the agenda for 2025's board meetings? When are they? Where are they? What time? Get all the info. And they'll supply with that information. They might even be able to tell you where you can go download that information online somewhere. And then you want to plan to try to start making it to these meetings. You know, again, we have a whole plan in here. You want to get people in the communities within these different school districts, go down to real property, you get the addresses. Anyway, a lot of detail in this video that lays it out. And then we have, of course, the political committee. This is probably the most complex one. That would be another week. Maybe you spend a couple of weeks on the Education Committee before you move to the Political Committee. Now there are other videos we're going to be putting up on the Militia Committee and a few other committees that we suggest that people start. As time goes on, you're going to discover situations and problems within your county, and you're going to want to create a committee for that particular situation. Some of those committees may be just short term, and at some point when you solve the problem or whatever the case may be, that committee of safety, that subcommittee may not be necessary anymore. But, again, people will figure those things out as they go along. So anyway, with that information, I guess we'll go take some questions. Again, we have a few people in the queue, yeah. Right? Yep.
John?
Yep.
I had several questions come in late, if you want them.
Sure, we'll do that first.
Okay, the first one is wondering if the Supreme Court accepted our filing, or did they return it because they only accept so many cases? Your thoughts?
Well, the United States Supreme Court has not returned it. So, you know, things are happening, so, you know, they may be double thinking before they do what they usually will do. Usually the gatekeepers are the problem. But we also sent them not only to the United States Supreme Court, we sent it to each and every one of the justices individually within their own districts that they are responsible for. Of those, we did get two of them returned, we're going to run a letter out. I'll be sharing that letter. It'll be a short one. It'll be a paper on how we're going to deal with that. Because there's the doorkeeper that sent it back, and so we have to, I don't want to say threaten the doorkeeper, but maybe that's a good word, I don't know, but we want to inform the doorkeeper that they are guilty of treason, that we are reporting treason, and you're preventing this information from getting to the justices. So we're going to resend that, and we're going to write a paper. And we'll copy all of the other people and plus all of the other justices so that everybody becomes aware of the consequences of returning these papers. You know, they try to use the thing, well, we got to pay money. You know, we have to work through the process. They say everything but what our paper is. And our paper is a presentment coming from the grand jury. And they know what a presentment is. They know what a grand jury is. So I don't, you know, we'll see how things go. We also, of course, copied a lot of people so we can try to get a lot of support from other individuals, particularly the people that are in power. You know, there's some good people that are in power. Just real quickly, I'll go through this. If you go to the first page, nationallibertyalliance.org, click on our presentment, grand jury presentment to the United States Supreme Court, And so here's where we did the additional. We not only sent it to the United States Supreme Court, but this was the additional redundant services upon the U.S. Supreme Court justices. So this is their different districts or areas, circuits, that each one of the justices are responsible for, and we sent a copy there too. And we also sent copies to enforcement, and everything we sent, any letters, any response, we're going to copy all these people. We also copied President Trump, Tom Fitton, Donald Jr., Robert Kennedy, Cash Patel, Senator Mike Lee, Senator Ted Cruz, Senator John Kennedy, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Josh Hawley, Senator J.D. Vance, Vice President, Congressman Mike Johnson, Congressman Jim Jordan, Congressman Marjorie Taylor, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Congressman Steve Scalise, Congressman Andy Briggs, Congressman Chip Roy, Congressman Eli Crane, Congressman Corey Mills, and Congressman Jim Banks. And then we've sent others, also sent a copy to Musk just recently. So we sent, and anybody who's been really paying a lot of attention to what's going on, these are all the good people. These are the people that have been supporting Trump. These are the people that have been fighting with Trump and standing up and doing some good work in Congress and in the Senate. So so we anticipate some help from these people at some point in time. So we'll keep them abreast of everything we're doing, whatever rejection we get, whatever responses we get, and how we respond back to them. We will copy everyone on this list. And hopefully get the pressure going. But that's all we can do. Some point in time, they got to yield. We're heading back to the Constitution. Anybody listening to Trump, he's got all these points, amazing things he's laying out, and really laying out his plan. And he's been doing so since he became president-elect. Every day he's been putting some heavy stuff out there and plans. And just listening in, we're heading back to the Constitution. He talked about there should be no need for people to have a permit to have a weapon. Of course, there should be a background check. No one would disagree with that. But other than that, there should be no restrictions and requirement or preventing people from having a weapon or whatever. And he's talking about making sure that this is uniform across the nation. So he's working on that. First, the Second Amendment. He's working very heavy, of course, heavily on the First Amendment with all of the different problems that we've had, and to make sure we don't have that problem again in the future. One of the most genius thing I heard him talking about was that he's going to break up Washington, D.C. He's going to get all of these different agencies out of Washington, D.C. and spread them across the nation. I mean, what a great idea that is, because Washington, D.C. is a real hornet's nest. It's a den of thieves. It's just evil. And so they do need to be separated by distance. And there's a lot of good things I heard about this idea and what it will cause and what will happen. And so it's really a good positive thing. But there's so many things he's working on money. He's got to be working. I haven't heard him talking about it yet, but we're trying to get his attention. And, it's up to the people listening in here. It's up to the people here at National Liberty Alliance to get this information out to other people in power and in authority, or people who have influence to people in power or authority, and to push this idea that we need to get our courts back. Our nation will be as just as our courts, and right now our courts are evil. And that's why the United States really has been operating as an evil nation, ultimately, an evil empire. We've been building democracies around the world, over a couple of hundred of them, since what, the 1940s? And what's the purpose of a democracy? The purpose of a democracy is the first step to an oligarchy. That's what a democracy is all about. It never ends well. It always self-murders itself. It commits suicide. And people end up in slavery because the tyrants who created the problem and built the whole thing and created the problems that brings the nation to its knees and then offers the solution, and people are willing to do almost anything to get out from under all of the stress that's that they had caused. And so that's what the United States has been doing for a long time. Our government has been hijacked by a bunch of maniacs, by a bunch of psychopaths, and they've been building for themselves and not for the people. So, all right. I hope I answered that question. Did I answer that question, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay,
the next question, it has multiple parts, I'll take them one at a time. If warrants are supposed to have a judge's wet ink signature, does that make online warrants invalid? For example, most warrants from Santa Cruz County in California are online.
Well, they may be posting them online, but they have to be served. And first of all, it's got to be served by the sheriff, number one. You can't just post it online or send something or send the police there. No, the sheriff has to. That's the law. Sheriff has to do it, although they've been working around the sheriff. A lot of states have lost to the sheriffs more than I ever thought. And we're working on that, too. But, a warrant has to be served by the sheriff, number one. It has to be a court order. They have to show where the search is to take place, specifically what they're looking for, and has to be supported by an affidavit. So that's the requirement. Let me see if I can look it up and read it. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secured in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause. So they better have probable cause, because that whole thing becomes worthless if they didn't really have probable cause. Okay. Supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So that's what's required, and of course it requires a wet ink signature of the judge, not a stamp, but a signature of the judge, and served by the sheriff. And any federal warrant that is to be served, the sheriff must first see that that information. Sheriffs don't know this, by the way, and we teach them this in the book. When a federal agent comes into the county to do any business, they need to notify the sheriff of the county they're coming in to serve a warrant. They got to visit with the sheriff, get a copy of the sheriff of the warrant, and the sheriff should participate in this and not permit them to go in with these SWAT teams to intimidate or kill people or kill animals or whatever the case may be. Look at the most of these warrants are like, well, IRS, they're going to be gone anyway. But that was a lot of them. But also alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, different things that they're involved with, which is the same people that really go up against for the IRS also. But there are other things that they really don't have power or authority. That's why the sheriff needs to understand and know what powers and authority the federal government has within any county. And again, they can't do nothing in that county without going through the sheriff. Of course, that hasn't been happening. I mean, the law hasn't been followed in quite some time. The common law has been abrogated in 1938 through the 1934 Rules Enabling Act. Sheriff needs to be educated. And you know what? When the sheriff reads all of the literature and all the information, specifically and especially our charter and our resolutions, once he goes through all that, he's going to realize we're expecting him to know these things. We're expecting him to learn these things. We're expecting him to not go to the county attorney to get understanding of the law. He needs to know the law, and it's the common law. The law that the attorney is going to give him is civil law, is statutes and regulations. It has nothing to do with we the people. Now, in some cases, of course, it does. It could be a warrant for someone that is doing something, doing maybe some unlawful commercial activity or something, where then, of course, certain statutes apply, whether it be a state statute in the state level or a federal statute from the federal government. But generally, and that's easy to look, to just look at the different codes and to apply it upon the right proper person, someone who's involved in that kind of a commercial activity or maybe a government agency. But as far as the common law is concerned, it's really pretty much common sense, and we're protected by the Constitution, and they can't hold statutes or those things against us. So, again, the sheriff needs to know these things, and that's why we need to educate them. But as they go through the resolutions and they go through the charter, they'll see that we're not going to tolerate a sheriff that's not going to learn. We're not going to tolerate a sheriff that's not going to protect the Constitution, to uphold his oath, and protect the people from an overreaching government. If he's not willing to do that, we're not willing to support him, and we'll look for another. And we will recall him. First order of business, if we're going to run a recall, a sheriff, is try to find someone that's going to run for sheriff. That might be a little difficult, but maybe not so much. You know, you get enough people coming into your group, certain people will have other knowledge from other places, and maybe someone in your group may say, I run for sheriff. I got a background to be able to do that. Or whatever the case may be. But the thing is you got to support a sheriff that's going to obey the people and protect the people from an overreaching government. And so that's what they're going to realize when they go through all this literature. And then we laid out, I put together proposed questions for the sheriff. I don't know whether I have uploaded that yet, and I think I might have done a video on that also. I don't remember, but those two things will be posted if they're not already. And that's a series of questions that we, you know, the chair would want to ask. I mean, people can add to that, too, or redesign the questions, whatever they want to do. But it's a proposed idea. But the questions will really lay out and push the sheriff into commitment. And then, of course, you've got the whole committee there. Anybody can ask any question. But we should have meetings before that sheriff gets here, before, you know, during that time period that he's studying and looking at these things. We're going to want to have meetings, and we're going to want to discuss what it is we're expecting of our sheriff, what kind of question we want to ask. And again, there's certain ones that, as a group that I put together from the county, from the chair, who would ask, or the co-chair, these particular series of questions. And again, they can be redesigned however they want. But then it's open to the floor to anyone to ask a question. And that's how we really need to bring our sheriff under the control of the people. Jan?
Yeah. Okay, next question, John. If I was misinformed and lied to by my own counsel and prosecutor to take a plea, then does not keep their end of the deal during trial, and the jury comes back with a guilty verdict, and judge decided the sentence, now pending appeal. What can I file with the court to correct that?
Well, it would have to be... I'm not sure exactly. I would imagine, first of all, you want to file... You'd have to have some... If anybody makes a deal, it should be in writing. So I got to believe you got something in writing. And by bringing that into the court and demanding them to uphold their agreement, unless they have a reason to break that agreement, number one. But on the other side of things, once courts adjust, this is a major problem right now, because every single person in jail, I don't know of any exclusions to this, unfortunately. Everybody's been put in jail illegally, even people who belong there, okay? Because they've been prosecuted in a court of civil law court. Whether it's a criminal court, it's still under statutes and under the civil law and under the rules of civil law, which has nothing to do with we the people. And the juries are stacked. That's problematic. So generally speaking, they are ultimately, even though they have a jury and appear to be a jury trial, again, there's a lot of control. It's still a chancery court, okay? And most chancery courts, and a lot of people go to jail without even going before a jury. The judge itself becomes, judge, jury, and executioner, so to speak. And that's what a chancery court is. But in the case of someone tried by a jury and that that's problematic. Yeah, you're going to want to get your case reopened, is what I would do, and I would go suing these people also. And again, you were prosecuted in a court that doesn't really have authority. A criminal court is not a court of record, okay? It's a specific court, and they call it criminal courts. They call them civil law courts and criminal law courts. Both of them are not courts of record. A court of record is called exactly that, a court of record, one that proceeds under the common law. And with a common law jury that is free and independent, that's the other thing. You can probably prove pretty easily that the jury was not properly informed, that they were not free and independent, and that the judge gave them requirements as far as the understanding of the law is concerned. And that the more often than not, you know, the grand jury was unlawfully moved by a prosecutor, because a prosecutor shouldn't be talking to a grand jury. Prosecutors should be giving their information to the sheriff, who has nothing to do with what's going on. He has no skin in the game on whether to get that that indictment or not. So that sheriff should be able to look at the situation and say, you know, there's not enough evidence here, or he'll do further investigation and make the decision not to bring it before the grand jury, or make the decision to bring it before the grand jury. You see, they don't like that. That's why they took it away from the sheriff. They duped us all, and this is a problem again. But that right there. If you go and get the handbook that was given out to your trial jury and get the handbook that was given out to your grand jury, you'll probably find that they put information in there that they got together that you can prove they stacked the jury. Okay? And that's what they do. They stack the jury. They put the right people into the right cases. You know, they ask questions like, you know, do you own a gun? Does anybody in your household own a gun? Any of your family own a gun? They ask lots of questions like that. They'll ask you what news you watch. You watch CNN? Do you watch Fox? You watch ABC? What do you watch? Where do you get your information? This is none of their business. But this is how they stack the jury. You know, they get the right people. They do a psych on it and figure out what people they want to pick for what jury in order to get their conviction. The whole thing is corrupt. So it is a problem. There's lots of things that can be done and potentially get a mistrial. But again, if you have the knowledge, you can discover how much you've been abused, but you have to have the knowledge of due process. You can find out where you were refused due process. They also have these in their rules. They got these special rules of evidence. Okay, hey, there is no rules of evidence. What are they talking about? Okay, you know, whatever the evidence you bring up, you bring it to the jury. The jury will decide. But they restrict certain things, and of course they get to the point where they restrict things they should not be restricting. So there's a lot of things, but it depends on your case particularly on what you can do. But these are some of the things you could start looking into. But to get enough knowledge and information, you're going to want to come and go to education under education tab and come down to court access in the common law and take this course, because this course here will give you the information and understanding of due process, how things work, how things are supposed to work, a lot of memorandums, a lot of different things we discuss. And that you need that knowledge to do this. If you're trusting in a lawyer, you can't trust in a lawyer, because they're going to betray you, because they owe first to the court, and you to the, and maybe you might be second or even third. But they're going to be obedient to the court and follow the court. And when the court says, well, don't bring this up and don't bring that up, when you need this up and you need that up, your lawyer is going to follow them. They're not going to bring up the common law. There's a lot of things, you know. But a lot of that's going to change. I'm not sure what it's going to look like quickly in the beginning of next year. But I believe over time we will get our courts of law. If we can get communications with the people in power, you know, people around Trump, and get this information that we've been putting together for many years and start getting their support, we can move our courts back to courts of record very quickly. But it requires, help on that end. Also, we do believe the military is working with the people, and we're looking for military justice in the sense because, you know, it's treason. These courts have, and the paper, I'm going to be writing a paper to these people. There's two of the judges, clerks on the private on the districts that turn the papers back, but. My papers that I write to them, I'll share that when I write it, but it's going to lay out the crime. It's going to lay out the problem. And I think that might be helpful. And that kind of information, again, needs to get to the people that are in the power, moving into the power, the people around Trump, the people in Congress. We got to get this info to them. Anybody that people think is a good guy. So anyway, that's where we're at with that. Next.
Okay. What can I do to address the prosecutor leaving out exculpatory evidence and information to get a conviction?
Well, that's a crime. If a prosecutor, well, again, prosecutor does not have to give how do you pronounce that again?
Exculpatory.
Exculpatory. Okay. The exculpatory evidence does not necessarily have to be brought up to the grand jury. It's not required. Okay. But look at that evidence might show enough doubt that this person shouldn't even be brought up for conviction, and there could be evidence that makes it clear, you know. And they do hide those things. That's why the sheriff has to handle it, because they got to get everything. That's why the sheriff might has the ability to say, "Hey, I'm not going to run this case. It right here proves the person's not innocent." They got to give that information to the sheriff, full information. If they hold anything back, that's a crime. Okay, and they could be prosecuted, and they could be sued also for damages and for pain and suffering and so on. But if it's held back, now once you get into the court, okay, your lawyer, which you should be your lawyer, if you have the knowledge to do that, then maybe you'd hire a lawyer to sit with you to assist you in areas that you may not know or be unsure about, or maybe able to lay things out better from you know, a different perspective, but as far as the facts and things, you know, you really should be dealing with your own case. That's my opinion, and or at least participate in some of the things. But you definitely have to participate with the writing, and that is key, you know. When that kind of evidence is not given to your attorney, that's holding back evidence. That's a crime. Again, it's a crime. They'd be prosecuted, and also they can be sued, or to you. Now, your lawyer, it's up to your lawyer to let you know about that evidence, too. And that's another problem. They may not tell you about that particular evidence. I don't know why, but they may not. Maybe they're informed not to. You know, look, there's a lot of corruption, a lot of evil stuff going on. They want you in jail because putting you in jail is money for people. It's a money game to begin with. It's also a political thing to get rid of the enemies. They're political enemies. So, you know, it's really corrupt. So, anyway, next.
Okay, this person is looking for clarification on this court case. On page 9 of the Common Law Handbook, it states that lawmakers were given authority by the people to legislate codes, rules, regulations, and statutes, which are policies, procedures, and law to control the behavior of bureaucrats, elected and appointed officials, municipalities, and agencies, but were never given authority to control the behavior of the people. And states the Supreme Court decision in Rodriguez versus Ray Donovan. My problem is that I cannot find that conclusion. I had a paralegal hunt down the opinion that is listed below, but it states none of that. Could you please help me find the information that proves this statement true, as listed on page 9? I have posted this statement on my business door, as it is very powerful, but I need to be able to find it in law if I'm challenged.
Okay, what they said that was in the handbook? What book did they say it was in?
Page 9 in the handbook.
Which handbook, though?
Common law.
Oh, the common law handbook. Let me see if I have a copy. I should have a copy up here, PDF download. Well, first of all of those things is, you know, you don't really need a court case to back that up. It's common sense, number one. You know, just by going to the Constitution and going back to the Declaration of Independence and, of course, the Bill of Rights, you know, but the Declaration of Independence makes it clear that we have government by consent, by the consent of the people, which puts us above the government. And then we have in the preamble of the Constitution, we the people ordained and established this Constitution for them. Okay, and we've listed out six things that they need to keep in mind as they write law. And law is called equity at that point. Equity is good law. It's supposed to be, equity means justice. It's supposed to be just law. And but it's written law by legislators. So it's law that they make up accordingly. But even that should be following the law of the land, which again brings us back to common law. American jurisprudence lays out this process of law that has to follow the common law. It has to follow, you know, ultimately maxims, which again brings us back to common sense. So law must be written in the idea, in mind, with the mindset that they're looking at the common law to write the necessary statutes and different things. And therein is the ability of a jury to be able to nullify it if they don't like it, if they think it's unlawful, or if they think it doesn't apply in this case, or they just don't like it at all, whatever the case may be. That's the power of nullification. And so that is something that is extremely important to understand, is that we are the lawmakers. So again, we get back to the Constitution. We ordained and established it. And then we laid out in the federal Constitution, we laid out 18 powers where they have the authority to make law in these different areas. And they've come up with 57 different codes. Each one applying to a certain situation. I think it's USC 3, if I remember. Let me take a quick look. I think it's 3. Hang on. Okay. I know you mentioned something about a court case. I'll have to take a look into that and maybe get back to next week, because I have to go looking that up and research it. Maybe I have a wrong quote. But a lot of my quotes that I have from that I put out there and that I find, a lot of them I find in Black's Law Dictionary. Because when you look up the meaning of words or phrases, whatever the case may be, it gives you the information, and it gives you court cases that where this is applied and makes it factual. Okay, USC 3 applies to the president. That's what I thought. You know, USC 4 applies to flags, the seals, and governor states. There's government organization for another one, armed forces for USC Title 10. You know, so each one of these apply to a particular area that we gave them the authority to do so. Although there is a lot of different agencies that we never gave them authority and to create, and a lot of them may be problematic. And you know, I think Trump's going to dump a lot of them. He's going to be cleaning a lot of house, so we'll see how those things go. Of course, they did put in here USC 26, which deals with the Internal Revenue Code, which is just nothing but a bunch of gibberish. No one can make any sense of it. Nobody. It's crazy. It's just insane to read through that stuff. But nevertheless, hidden in there, it says that it is not to be inferred as law. That it is not law. USC 26 is not law. Yet they refer to another place that it's a court of record. And how could it be a court of record if it runs under statutes? Because court of record does not operate under statutes. Okay? So, again, getting back to the question as far as... can you read that again? Because I think it's an important question. Jan, read the question again.
Okay. On page 9 of the Common Law Handbook, it states that lawmakers were given authority by the people to legislate codes, rules, regulations, and statutes. which are policies, procedures, and law to control the behavior of bureaucrats, elected and appointed officials, municipalities, agencies, but were never given authority to control the behavior of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And states the Supreme Court decision in Rodriguez versus Ray Donovan.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I got it. Okay, Rodriguez, I'll take a look to see what if I can find that again, make sure it's the proper quote. But remember, without the we don't rest upon the decisions of the Supreme Court. We're free and independent. The Supreme Court really should not be making any decisions concerning we the people. For instance, the abortion. That never should have been dealt with by the United States Supreme Court. That was always a political problem. So issues, they should not be dealing with issues. That's really the point. They should be dealing with the law. And the law, ultimately, they should be dealing with is with equity, not with law, L-A-W, in law, at law, or law, which is that which proceeds according to the common law. That's dealt with by the people. Once you understand the difference between the two, okay, equity, you'll have a judge, and not necessarily a jury at all, usually in equity. Okay, sometimes you'll get a jury. Okay, depends if it's criminal. And maybe there's some other issues where a jury would be brought in, but generally it would be a criminal thing, then a jury would have to be brought in. At that point, it moves over to law, but it does combine equity and law because that person is upheld by the equity, by the legislation that was made to control that individual on whatever it is that they're doing, a commercial activity or a government agent or whatever. But you know, as far as the people are concerned, the people are under the law. We do not answer to the government. They cannot write statutes. If they can write statutes and codes to control our behavior, then we're not free and independent, are we? We answer to an authority. The only authority that we answer to is the authority of God, the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's the only authority we answer to. And the king's court is you know, our court has a king. His king is God, Jesus Christ. And the king's bench is the jury, the people. And God said he put the laws of men, he put his laws into the hearts of men. So, generally speaking, unless you're a psychopath or a sociopath or something, generally speaking, people know when someone else is injured. They can tell because they're an individual living in the same world, in the same location, whatever the case may be. They can see that the person has been injured. They can also come to an appreciation on what is required to restore that person and what is required in order to punish the person who injured that person, which usually is restitution. That's the most important thing, that the person be restored. So we know this, and that's the way the court system is set up. As a matter of fact, judges are not permitted in a court of law. When a judge comes and sits in a court that's a court of justice, a court of law, one proceeding according to the common law where it has the tribunal, which is the judges, which is the 12 people, the jury, that's the judges, that's the tribunal. We don't need another one in there. We don't need a judge. Now, that judge, all judges are magistrates. So he can come in with his magistrate powers. He can't make any decisions. He can't make any summary decisions. He can't throw out evidence. He can't apply rules other than the rules of the common law. Okay, and again, that magistrate is there for the sole purpose of documenting the case and making sure that the will of the jury is executed. And so he puts the signature and a seal on that decision, sends it off to the sheriff for execution. But again, it's all the people. Remember, the people are the lawmakers. We empowered our legislators, who we vote in and put in power. We empowered the legislators to write law to control themselves, to control the government agencies, to control the commercial activities. That's what we created them for, not to write law to control the behavior of people. And so that's extremely important to realize and understand. You know, we read Samuel Adams says, the natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth and not to be under the will or legislative authority of man, but only to have the law of nature for his rule. Okay, so our founding fathers, this is an opinion not just of Samuel Adams, this is the opinion of our founding fathers. And so we're under the law. We're not under a judge of some political animal that sits in, or someone that's appointed, that sits in a courtroom to decide anything about our lives. That's not who we are as a people. It has been operating that way because they've changed things over time. Covertly, they had to make us ignorant. They have to keep the knowledge away from the people. You got to keep the slaves ignorant, otherwise they'll figure out a way to be free and realize that they should be free. So first they had to, take away the knowledge, and then they covertly create all these statutory prisons. And every court, I'm going through an argument right now, I'm always going through an argument in this case, where they're applying civil law, which is statutes. Has nothing to do with me. That's not a court of record. Now, that's the other thing. Only a court of record has the power to fine or incarcerate. Okay? So these other courts do not have that power, yet they do. Village courts, town courts. Unfortunately, even Supreme Courts, as far as the state of New York, the state courts, we call them Supreme Courts in each county. But even those courts, because they're operating as chancery courts, they're all illegal. They're operating outside of the law. So that's what people need to understand, and but I'll look into the book and see. I got a copy laying here, just got to find it and go through it, and I'll look on page 9 and look that up, and maybe you can ask the question again next Monday, and hopefully I have an answer for you. So I got the Common Law Handbook, page 9, concerning Rodriguez and something or other case. Go ahead. Next
okay,
question.
Okay, there's one last one here. I think I skipped over. It says, can the courts gain and lose jurisdiction as the case moves? For example, a defendant pleads, but the jury is tainted and the judge decides the law. Did they get jurisdiction but then lose it?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Read your question again. I'm trying to follow it.
Okay. Can the courts gain and lose jurisdiction as the case or trial moves along?
Yeah, that's where I have the problem, the courts gaining jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Again, are we talking about the court being the people? Are we talking about the judge? I don't understand that part of the question, but go ahead. Maybe I can get it
I assume it's the judge. For example, a defendant pleads, but the jury is tainted and the judge decides the law. Did they get jurisdiction, or did the judge have jurisdiction but then lose it?
Okay, well, the judge never has jurisdiction because no judges are permitted in a common law court. So a court of record, there is no judge. The judge is the tribunal, which is the people. The people are the judge. Okay, and it's 12 individuals that make the decision, and it has to be unanimous. And if one person holds out and just doesn't agree, they got to stay with it until they can convince that one person. And if they can't convince that one person, then they got to acquit. There's no other way to get around it. When they go to sequester a jury, that really, I think that's very much unlawful. It's none of their business. Okay, because sequestering a jury is asking each individual if they pleaded particularly guilty or innocent, whatever the case may be, for whatever reason they're sequestering it for. Well, what business is that of the judge? It's not the business of the judge or anybody. The jury came to that decision. They came to that decision in secret, and that's it. So what if they find out that one person held out? But again, if they all agreed to plead guilty, then they have to claim when they're sequestered that guilty, guilty, guilty all along the road. But again, these people are minimally informed, and they wouldn't know how to really answer other than to say, well, I really pleaded that the guy's guilty, but we couldn't convince Joe over here, so we agreed to just do this or that. Just think of the havoc that's going to cause to begin with. That's none of the business of the judge, because all they're doing is trying to, really, the other side, which is requiring or requesting the sequestering, that person is really trying to make a case in order to, maybe it's a guilty decision, and they want to try to get something to kind of get a wedge in there. Now, once the jury makes a decision, it's final, it's eternal. It's already settled. Even the United States Supreme Court cannot overturn that decision. The only way they can do, the United States Supreme Court can get involved in a jury decision is only in whatever part of anything that took place that affected the unalienable rights of another individual. So if something like that came up, they can work that out and get involved from that perspective. Because the other job of the United States Supreme Court has two jobs, and that includes all the judges and all of the equity courts, whether it's state or federal. They have two jobs. Number one, to make decisions in equity cases. Again, that's dealing with commercial activity and government agencies. The other thing is to protect the rights of the people, to protect the Constitution, well, the unalienable rights that is protected by the Constitution. So they're to champion the Constitution. So let's say I'm in court, I have a case right now that I might be moving into federal court, and it'll be moving at a good time because it'll be coming into the other side of things, I think. But in any event, it's a case where due process has been violated, the right of due process. That gives me the ability, for instance, in the case that I'm battling right now, it's a civil law case that should be a common law case. They keep moving this over to an Article 78. And Article 78 has nothing to do with me. That's for bureaucrats and potentially people operating in commercial activities. For them, it has nothing to do with me. And so, therefore, I'm filing a paper right now for a final warning to all involved, all officers involved, laying out my final position, and to let it be known that if they continue down this road, that I'm going to sue the court directly. Because a common law court, which is a more superior court, which is what I opened, is more powerful than a chancery court, which they hijacked me into. And the case is not for me, it's for someone else anyway. But it was hijacked into. So I then will move that into federal court for cause, and the cause will be for violating the right of due process on many, many levels. And so therefore, you can sue the court directly and not have to go through an appeals. And sometimes I go through an appeal process only because, it's certain steps you could take it through, but then eventually move it to another position, take it into federal court for cause if they're still not doing the right thing. But that's not a necessity. You could take it directly into the federal court for cause. Or you can, well, again, it depends on what kind of a court you're in that you're dealing with. It could be a town court, village court, city court, or a county court, which would be really, or even a state court within a county. So it depends on the court and where you would move it to. So, anyway.
Okay. That's all, John.
All right, thank you. Okay, we got two people in the queue. If anybody else wants to get into the queue, it's a *6 and a 1 if you're on a phone. And again, it should be a button there somewhere if you're on an app or a browser. We'll take our first person here, Jeff from Pennsylvania. You got the mic. Go right ahead. You've been unmuted.
Hi, John.
How you doing, Jeff?
Good. John, we spoke last Monday, and I told you I was going to send you some links. I didn't know if Jan sent them to you. I sent them to him.
Which link were they to? Was that for the, I'm trying to think what it was. I think I did some stuff. Which one was it? Because I got a couple of things. Go ahead.
They were from Dave Champion, setting up an interview with him. His website, drreality.news.
Mm-hmm.
Commoner Law Group.
Okay.
.com, commonerlaw.com, and also a link to their Rumble channel and all their educational videos.
Okay, two things I found with that. I'm willing to talk with these people if you have a connection and can make that happen. But two problems I found. The Rumble channel, you know, I don't have the time to sit and listen to all those. There's a lot of stuff in there, and they're long. And I got too many other things that I'm doing than to try to do a deep research on things. But things do, you know, a little bit here and there sounds interesting. The problem that I have on the website, though, is they want you to sign up before you get any real information. I don't sign up to clubs or anything like that unless I really want to get involved and believe, so I didn't get into the website. But I did kind of clicked around some videos. You know, if you think it'd be advantageous to have a conversation and you can help set it up, we'll have that conversation.
John?
Yeah, there's an excellent video on there. If you were to go back to the Rumble channel, it's about between 9.5, 2 hours, but you could pan through. It talks heavily on common law and the right to travel. A gentleman by the name of Rick Jones out in California, but they just really get into the history of it and details with success stories on the freedom, you know, the right to travel versus drive. He mentions all things, even the date of the ratification of the original 13th Amendment, which is March 12, 1819. So he goes down to the nearest date, and he has proof of it and records of it. So if anybody, like he says, a lot of attorneys.
The simplicity of that, you know, basically is that it's traffic law, which is statutory. It's statutes. And statutes have nothing to do with me. It has to do with the commercial activity. And so that's the simplicity of it, okay? Now, I know there's more to it, but you can win the battle on the simplicity as long as you can articulate well enough and lay out the position that these statutes have nothing to do with me. And I did do some papers on that. Again, I'm interested in talking. Maybe we could work together. I mean, we really need some help over here at National Liberty Alliance as it is, because there's way too much work and not enough people to do it. But, you know, if you go under Education tab, for instance, and you might have already done this already because you've been around for a while, but under Law, you'll come over to Court Forms and Process. And I do have a paperwork that I've written up and I've used and I've won with on dealing with traffic court. For instance, instructions forms for traffic court. And if you follow the process, you know, you have a good chance of winning the case. But again, you're not going to win it within the traffic court, usually. I mean, it's possible, but usually don't. You got to move it into state court for cause, and then from there, if necessary, move to federal court for cause. But this is how you would win that case. Let me see. There was something else here.
When you get done, John, I got something to share with you on Dave Champion.
Okay. Yeah, just give me another minute. Give you the money. Yeah, I think that's probably the one. You know, what's important to do, though, is come in with an appearance ticket, because they play a game with that, okay? And then, of course, a notice of motion. But that appearance ticket is you're coming in as a notice of a special appearance. That is key to make that point, and I would do it in writing. I wouldn't do it just in the words. I'd do it in writing. You know, the process that I put together, it's pretty simple, and could be followed, maybe. But, yeah, if you can set up a meeting, we'll talk, you know.
I discuss with a lot of people, and they're kind of on the same page, and they kind of want to pursue the same things. Three main things I'd like to pursue.
Someone's got an open mic out there and getting a lot of noise here. So, yeah, go ahead, Jeff. Try it again.
One of the three major things we're trying to focus on here, both as an individual and as a, you know, basically a community of people that are like-minded, is right to travel, the liberating from the income tax, which doesn't apply to us anyway if you talk with Dave Champion, because he has a great book out there called Shattering the Myths, and also land patents. I'd like to be liberating those three major areas of life. And I know it's doable, it's just insurmountable, and it's an uphill. But it is possible, and people out there have done. I know a gentleman that possesses a land patent in Pennsylvania here. And just the steps to take, I just got to take the time and do it lawfully and properly. But those three things, I think, if we can liberate ourselves from, they can really, really feel a difference. versus being under the corporate fetters.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I agree with you, but we're going to be moving into a new, you know, a whole new world, so to speak, because so many things are going to change. And, you know, for instance, you know, tax on property. That's unlawful, always has been unlawful. It's also can be considered a direct tax. But more than that, you know, if you don't pay taxes on your property, then they come and take it away from you. So that means you never really owned it. The government is kind of a partner in that, which they could not and should not be. That, I believe, with no doubt, is going to be corrected. As far as traffic court, you know, I think the problem with the traffic court, that's going to be hard for them to fall away. I don't know that much is going to be done to shut down traffic court. That's going to be up to we the people and start suing these people. And we'll win when we move it into a justice court, once we have justice courts going and they apply the true law of the land, not statutes upon the people. And so that's a, you know, that's something that you're right. We probably do have to continue to pursue. But we want to put papers together that's short and sweet, focused, and gets to the point without getting into too much. But knowledge, of course, of how this stuff worked and how things happened or whatever the case may be, of course, helps you with your mindset. But your paperwork, I think the paper that I wrote is like 6 pages, 8 at most, and it focuses in specifically on the fact that they don't have the authority and lays that out very clearly. But again, you know, I'm willing to speak with anyone. You know, we have a law group here in Dutchess County that goes to the meetings that we have, and some of those people, hopefully all of them, will eventually attend and join up with us. But they have kind of a head start on a lot of other committees of safety, maybe, because we have like we may have 6 or more people that get together and discuss these things, and so they can become advisors to the committee of safety. And really offer a lot of things on the legal end of things, and they'll understand a lot of things that we can teach a lot quickly than the person who doesn't know the process. They can pick up on these things quicker than anyone else, and be able to help and assist the committee of safety and deal with problems. Like, we have a problem here in New York. I'm trying to think of what it was called. It was Proposition 1. I forget how they named it, but it was like parents' rights or something. It sounded good, you know, whatever it is. I forget what they named it, but it sounded good. But the whole thing was the opposite of what the words that, you know, introduced it as. And it really takes away rights from the parents. It doesn't protect the rights of the parents. And so, you know, I was asked if I could do anything about that, so I'm going to write a paper and take it into the state court and make that battle. Now, we do have other people, like I said, and hopefully I'll get some help from those people and put together a nice paper. But we'll see where that goes. But again, yeah, we'll talk to anyone.
Yeah. We've been having Zoom meetings every Wednesday night at 7:30. This will be number 4. This is on taking our committees of safety, which we are one here in Allegheny County, and strengthening them and becoming de jure counties. De jure meaning lawful or righteous by definition. We need 18 counties in the state for the state to be converted into a de jure state. You probably remember a gentleman by the name of Robert Overeel. He was a de jure governor of Illinois, and he had something going like that up in his neck of the woods when he was still around. But, yeah, we're doing something similar here. It's based on the Republic for the United States of America, based on basically...
Did you say he was a governor?
He said he was de jure governor, which meant the lawful governor, not the corporate governor. But it used to be on the Thursday night calls, and he would talk about that and mention his status and stuff. But then he passed away a few years back.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with that.
One of those links.
Hang on a second, Jeff. I know Gerard wanted to pipe in here something, and then we'll come back to you in a minute. Hang on. Gerard? Gerard, you were muted if you're talking.
There you go. How about that? Is that better?
We can hear you now.
I wanted to just relate some of my experience with Dave Champion, because I do know him. from years back. I never got my children's social security numbers. So when my son was, you know, grew up and he got to be driving age, and he got work out in Ohio, I think it was at the time, even though he was a New York State citizen, he got work out there, and he wanted to drive, and they wouldn't let him drive, but we ended up hiring Dave Champion. Now, Dave Champion doesn't take people that have Social Security numbers. He doesn't take taxpayers, per se. If you're a taxpayer that you've signed 1099s and W-2s, he won't defend you, because basically what you've done is you've given your rights up, and he cannot defend you. It's like when you join the service, you give up certain unalienable rights, and they tell you where to go and when to go, and you have to do it. It's a contract. So he won't defend anybody that is a U.S. citizen, so to speak. So because I never got my son a Social Security number, he never signed, was in that system, and they didn't have that on him. But he ended up getting him a driver's license with no Social Security number. And my son did that for a number of years, but finally he got a number because a guy, you know, they make it very, very hard to get in the bank. He got a bank account and all that stuff. The good thing with Ohio was the governor that was out there was very conservative, and he put a couple bills in that basically said they cannot discriminate against you for bank accounts or driving using the Social Security number. So he had that. He had them print that law out and take it to motor vehicle. But anyway, they issued him a license, and he got a bank account too. So anyway, Dave Champion, he's a little quirky, but he's got a lot of good stuff. You know what I mean? He sticks to his guns. And the other thing that when you were talking, John, I remembered, you know, you're talking about going into the federal court. Anton Scalia said 90-something percent of all the cases that come to the Supreme Court basically are due process violations. Even your automobile stuff, eventually, if you're fighting that case, you're going to find out they can't help themselves. They're violating your due process every step of the way. So, you know, when you end up in the Supreme Court, ultimately it should be a due process case, basically, because that's where they fall down. Anyway, just those couple things, that's all.
All right, well, it sounds interesting, you know, to learn some things, it seems, that I'm not aware of. But again, we do know that I'm interested in finding out of his realization that things are about to change, and a lot of the things that we do teach on those levels of trying to defend it, they may not be necessary. I do think traffic is going to be a while to really fall apart, because, you see, if you destroy the traffic court, then the towns won't be able to continue paying for the police department, nor even the court itself. It's a money-making machine is what it is. And so if the police are not out there giving tickets, which is really funding a lot of the work that's going on in the court, I'm sure they may get money from other places, but they're not going to be able to survive, so the police departments will start to fall away or become very limited. I don't know that they'll get rid of them altogether, but maybe they'll attach themselves to the sheriff's department and become satellite officers.
I disagree with they have to make money to support themselves. It never used to be that way. You know, I was in a small town over here, Cairo, New York, and we did put a police department, and it was very small. But we funded it from the taxpayers' money, and we didn't expect to.
Again, for a small police department, absolutely. But you can't support a large police department, and the courts cannot continue in a situation where they're not getting that funding. Everything will become a lot smaller, because the only violations they'll be able to give out is on the commercial activities. You see, that's the problem.
Maybe if they got off our backs, we'd have a lot more commercial activity.
Maybe if they what?
They got off our backs, we'd be able to do a lot more commercial stuff. Well,
yeah, that's true, too. But anyway, you know, look at they also, a lot of things, they take on a lot of different cases that they shouldn't be taking. And they take on cases that won't be taken by the state or the county. And if it's not going to be taken by the state or the county courts, and county courts are courts of record, if they're not going to be taken by those courts, then those cases won't be heard. And like, what was it, Judge... goodness, what's that judge's name? Bork, Judge Bork. Okay, well, Judge Bork says that 80 or 90% of the people in jail are there because they open their mouths. In other words, right. They made a plea. You know? And, you know, look at, once we get next year, there should be a huge release going on. It may not happen very quickly, but hopefully they'll get educated enough and quick enough to realize that most of the people in county jails are there that don't belong there because they're put in there by unlawful courts to begin with, and also on charges that have nothing to do to be applied upon the people. So all of these, there's got to be a lot of people released just in the county jails alone, but I think even on the state level, you're going to have a lot of people that have to be released that are in jail. I mean, you know, there's still people in jail, I think, for marijuana in different places, you know? I mean, that's an absurd situation. The people decide what they want to do and what they don't want to do, whether they want to use it for maybe a municipal, you know, to help them health-wise or to, for pain or whatever, or even for recreational. You know, again, there's a lot of problems that need to be corrected, and we need people getting educated on a grassroots level to deal with these problems. And well, that's what the Committee of Safety is necessary.
Trump says that he's going to bring us back to common law. He's actually said that before.
You know, I haven't heard that yet. So, I mean, I want to hear that. If you can find me a tape, I want to hear those words coming out of his mouth.
If that's true, all this stuff will take care of itself.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
If they understand what common law is and no injured party, you know, no crime, that takes care of all kinds of stuff, especially traffic court. That ruins it. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do for money. That's not my problem.
Well, again, you know, you go back to the lower level on these lower courts, you know, these village courts and town courts and even city courts, you know, they're not going to fall away so quickly. But as people move those cases and come to the understanding and move their case into the state court for cause, for the state court to shut them down, and if I moved it into state court for cause, you know, the last one I did, I didn't look to make money. I just wanted to get back the money I put in to have to go take it up to the court, you know, to go into the state court. Because they still, I should have been able to move it from one, because there's a unified system here in New York. I should be able to move it from one court to another court without having to pay a dime. And yet they made me pay money to get in. And also, it was a case that they executed against me. It wasn't a civil law case that I executed against them. It's just that I did a counteraction on them and moved it for cause for denial of due process. And so I didn't ask for money, but I'm going to tell you, from this point forward, I'm looking for a lot of money. Okay, I got to figure out what, you know, first of all, I like that $1,000 in silver coins. I kind of like that, maybe a couple of $1,000 in silver coins. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. Crap. Something you just said I wanted to comment on. I hate when that happens.
All right, well, let me finish up with Jeff. Maybe you remember. Jeff, you got anything final before we move on? We do have a couple other people in the queue. We do want to get to them before we shut down.
Everything we just talked about, taxes and whatnot, that all, they have their place, but it's just misapplied to the wrong group of people. Income tax, traffic, and also getting back to Dave Champion, he's a Rumble Channel, excellent presentation, especially on the Social Security. There is no such thing as Social Security. That's under FICA. But he only presents when he has the absolute laws and facts. He will not just give his opinions, pretty much none of his opinion, all just presented facts and law, and he'll show visual acts and legislation with all the Treasury decisions. But it's worth taking a little, when you get time, a glance at here and there. But they're about half hour in length, each one. But
well, I'd like to have a conversation with him and discuss things outside of certain things. For instance, we don't need to discuss traffic court per se, but different things that Gerard brought up. I mean, I'd like to talk with him about those things, you know, because, again, I lack knowledge in that area.
Oh, I know what I was going to comment on. Besides funding, you know, the courts and the police, these judges are funding their own retirement, and they're funding it three times over because they're floating the bond. They're getting a cut out of all that. That goes into their retirement.
Money in their pockets. Yep.
So, you know, if you cut that boondoggle out, they could probably do a lot more than they're, you know, for a lot less money than you think they can.
Yeah. All right, we've got to move on to the next caller. We've got two more callers in less than 15 minutes. So Jeff, appreciate the call, and if you can make the connection, we'll talk.
All right, take care, John.
All right. Okay, let's take our next caller here. Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Good to see you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, you go.
I was thinking, I tried to connect to a commissioner to get connected to the veterans staff to organize the community safety. He didn't understand community safety. He thinks that, you care about the safety of the county.
Okay, yeah. Are you saying to offer the idea of connecting to veteran organizations?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. They have different kinds of organizations, and I know there's the different posts. That's something to really go and do a presentment to those people, and then you'll probably pull a lot of those people in because usually they're active, you know?
This guy who's the commissioner in Clackamas County, he's a veteran himself, but he suggested me to talk to the Veterans Affairs of Clackamas County.
Okay, so the Veterans Affairs of a particular county is what you're saying.
He recommended me to talk to them to give me contacts to organizations for veterans or whatever.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a good idea. So we agree with that, and hopefully people will run with that too. Anything else, Ross?
No, I'm saying enough.
Okay, thanks, Ross. Okay, so veteran groups, excellent idea. Okay, we'll take our last caller, the wireless caller. It's 845 number.
It's Quinn, John. From the Dutchess County Law Group.
Okay. Who is this?
Quinn.
Quinn. Okay, go right ahead. You got the mic.
Yeah, I'm with the Dutchess County Law Group. I met you. Listen, we actually have our meeting tomorrow, so I will, everything that was discussed here, I'll let them know. Also, mm-hmm. I do have people for you. I just don't know how to get them to join this group. Can you send in the information on how they can join? And if you need anything.
Are you talking about the NLA group right here in the Monday night meeting?
Yeah. This one right here.
All right. Yeah, well, all they have to do is go up to the website, click on the Monday call, and get all the instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser.
Okay. Is that in my email? Because I'm not sure where that I would locate that at.
I don't know. I know I brought it up at the last meeting on a couple of occasions. I made the point that, they can go up to nationallibertyalliance.org.
Okay.
And if you go there, right on the top left side, it says Monday Night Call. If they go to nationallibertyalliance.org, click on Monday Night Call, top left side, then they'll give you the instructions to come in by phone, app, or browser.
Okay. And if you need anything, just let us know. We're definitely, there's tons of people that will definitely give you a hand, whatever you need, okay? Or anybody in the group, in the chat.
I think we're going to be having another meeting on the third Thursday. So not this Thursday, but next Thursday, I think. No, I got to give a call to see if we're booked in for that. And I think we're booked into that location for the rest of the year. They don't have anything coming up through January. So I think we can take both the first and the third Thursdays. But eventually, we'll probably just work off to the first Thursday or the third Thursday, whichever one we get. So the other Thursday is good for other people doing presentations and meeting other people from different groups and things.
Correct. All right. That's all I had for you.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate
all right. Thank you.
All right. Okay. We still got about 9 minutes or so. So, Gerard, you got anything else to share? I know there's a lot of stuff going on with Trump releasing a lot of information, a lot of great plans, and making a lot of big changes.
There's so much I can't keep up with it.
I know. Unbelievable. It's just great.
It's crazy. What do you talk about? And they go from here to there, and there's a lot of funny stuff, too. People are having fun with this,
Absolutely.
I
do want to make this note, though. People better get ready and brace for impact because it's coming. These people, look at, these people are going to jail, lots of them, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, and some of them are going to end up on the end of a short rope, and that's going to happen, and they know that's going to happen. So they're going to do something. I do know that there seems to be a plan that broke somewhere, that they're going to try to take Trump out, and then cause havoc from that, and you know, create another situation. I mean, that would really, well.
Listen, that's stuff that we can't do anything about. That's in God's hands. I don't worry about that.
But that's not the point. That, you know, I don't think they're going to get to him anyway, because he's well insulated at this point. And when the crap hits the fan, you know, as Q had put out, he's going to be on Air Force One. He's not going to be in any one particular.
I don't think we're going to get anything that big. You don't have to worry about Russia or China. That's all baloney. That's all big.
Already, peace is already being spoken.
That's right. This is the forces that are here that they've set up. Now, I don't even know how dedicated they are anymore. They're already cutting their money off.
Yeah, so that's a big problem for them. You know, there's still going to be havoc in the cities and the streets. And the blue cities
you're going to have problems with.
New York City is a problem. They got problems in Jersey, too.
All the big cities, especially in the Northeast here and on the West Coast, you're going to see crap. And it's going to take the National Guard, unfortunately, but that's the answer. And what they don't realize is they're not going to get this mamby-pamby justice. They're going to get military tribunals, which a lot of times you're hung by your sundown, you know what I mean?
Well, there's also a money problem for us, because there's going to be a bank holiday, and there's going to be a collapse. And if you got money in the bank, maybe when they reopen, maybe you'll have 5 cents on the dollar. I don't know what they're going to do with that. You know, I mean, it's going to be really, really serious problem. But until Trump gets into office, I mean, if that happens early, you know, let's say it happened next week. I mean, we got to survive a month and a half, almost 2 months, really.
I don't think Trump ever left office, to be honest with you. He's the commander.
I agree.
He could start tomorrow if he had to. He's got all the cards in his hand, all of them. And so if they really got something together that looks serious, he would take control. Look, he's been meeting with leaders for 2 months in Trump Tower in Mar-a-Lago. He's been working all this stuff out.
Well, Putin made a speech somewhere a couple of days after he became president-elect. And in his speech, or presentment, whatever it was he was doing, according to the interpreters they were reading through, he said that the New World Order is dead.
He also said that America is no longer an enemy.
Right, and even China wants to talk with us. So, I mean, all that is just over with. So, hey, listen, for anybody that's real good news, I mean, where I get a lot of my information, if you come under Welcome tab and you come down to up-to-date news, okay, if you're not looking at these places for news, you should consider it, because really great stuff. One of the best, yeah, but they're all good. I mean, X22 report is excellent, okay? I put this video out here because it's pretty powerful. But anyway, X22 report, and we know. This is really good, too. It's very entertaining, this guy, at the same time, very informative. SGT report, Q News Patriot, Christian Patriot News. Now, Christian Patriot News only puts out something maybe once a month or so. They used to do more, but in any event, it's good. Whatever he puts out is good. Stephen Gardner is really good. Of course, Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump. I wish Donald Trump would do some short... I wish someone would take all of his different speeches he's given and put a lot of the short, you know, taking short segments out to really feed it. I don't have time to sit and listen to all of the different, what do you call it, rallies he did. But in any event, Bongino Report is good. Joe Rogan is good. And for your health, I put in here Dr. Eric Berg. I mean, if you got a health problem, this is the guy to go listen to, let me tell you. He's all natural. Vitamin supplements solve a zillion problems. So anyway, so good places for info for news.
Nope.
Anything else, Gerard, you got? Or anybody else have anything? Oh, nope. Anything else?
Well, we only got 2 minutes, so it's hard to get started with anything.
Well, that's true, so we might as well bring it to the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be very interesting. Keep your head on a swivel, because you're going to have stuff coming down all over the place.
Yeah, and definitely, I agree with you. They may be able to snuff this out real quick. I know Q put out quite a few years ago, he says when it comes, it's going to be like 10 days. He spoke about 10 days of darkness. But it's going to be real quick. They said they're going to do everything they can to prevent as much spilling into the streets as possible from the one perspective. But there's going to be something. That's a problem. But people living in the cities have a real problem for that particularly. But also the bank. The bank is going to flop. We're going to have a problem, and it's going to collapse. And that's going to be a problem.
Well, the problem is not going to be so much that the bank's collapsing, because they are collapsing right now as we speak.
Oh, yeah, they have been for a while, yeah.
If you left your money in the stock market and you left it in some stupid fund, you're going to lose it.
But if you left too much money in your bank, that's a problem.
Well, the banks, though, I think they're going to do a one-to-one up to so many, $100,000 or $1 million. They're going to do a one-to-one transfer, because they got money that they've taken out of the Vatican in here, and they got a lot of gold to fund the reset. So they have a lot more resources than they're letting on.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that, though. I bank holiday comes, and then you come back, they may just give you 5 cents on the dollar, and that 5 cents will probably be the worthless 5 cents.
Well, they got a problem, because there's a contract there that says they're insured up to such and such $1,000.
Yeah. They never planned on executing that to relieve.
No, it doesn't matter. If they got the money, they're going to end up paying it, because they're going to lose the lawsuit.
I think, again, it's part of the problem. It's part of their plan to destroy us economically, deprive us of food.
The other thing is what do you do when somebody goes bankrupt? Your case stops. They're bankrupt. You can't get blood from a stone, right?
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
So I don't know. But,
The thing is people should have at least 30 days food in the house. At least.
I think the people that have money are going to suffer more than the people that don't have money. We're used to making ends meet.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're always going to have some kind of money to feed the people. Even in the Depression, they fed food tickets and stuff. I don't think that, I mean, that's the main job of the government is to protect the people, no?
Well, that's supposed to be, but they're not doing that.
Yeah, but once we go back to common law, once everybody realizes that this corporation is bankrupt, I'll tell you right now, they don't even have the jurisdiction to pull you over in the car, because even your local police forces, they're all tied together with the national and federal stuff because of the way their system is set up. So they're all part of that corporation. And when that corporation went dead, they lost their authority. They have no authority.
Yeah, but it takes a while before that is even realized to begin with, and how it's realized that, they could... It's complex.
I think once that word gets out on the street, it's going to be a lot quicker than you think it will be. You're going to have these guys pulling, hey, you don't have the authority. Are you part of the Dun & Bradstreet? You don't have authority to pull me. These cops are going to get it real fast.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
You need a bunch of sovereign citizens.
There's so much ignorance. Knowledge is what gives us liberty and freedom. Ignorance brings us into slavery, and these cops...
Right.
As much enslaved as we are, and they don't even know it, they're being controlled by, the minions of the New World Order, a.k.a. bar attorneys.
You know how easy it would be to fix it? If somebody like Trump comes out there and goes, hey, guys, just remember, you don't have the authority to be pushing these traffic laws on people. That's all it would take. If he announced it in public and said, do this, 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 and that, they don't have the jurisdiction.
Well, if he doesn't, if he does announce something like that, again, I don't know how much Trump is really working in on the justice problem. We do not have justice courts. Our courts have been totally destroyed and taken over by these maniacs. And I don't hear him talking about that yet, so I don't know how much knowledge
I don't think he wants to talk about it, because it's such a big deal. And listen, they got 650,000 sealed indictments. You know what that means? all those judges you're talking about, they're going bye-bye.
I hope so. Well, I heard that he's going to fire all and replace all of the federal prosecutors. There are 94 federal prosecutors, and he's going to fire them all, I heard. And hopefully that is the case, because that'll make a huge change to begin with. And, of course, every prosecutor, there's 94 districts, so there's one prosecutor for each one of the districts, and, of course, they have other prosecutors that they hire, just sort of like deputies. I like to see that also in the state court. The problem in the state court is that these judges have been elected, okay? And that may not be the problem. You see, if we had the committees of safety and the people were educated, we just recall them and pull them out of power. We get a hold of them and we say, hey, look, you're violating the Constitution.
Well, okay. What about an indictment? The common law grand jury indicts them for violating the Constitution. They're done.
Well, we're planning to go through that process of some of these people now ourselves also, which, you know, the doorkeepers are the ones we have to go after, because they're preventing. But again, we only have two at this point, and they've received this on the 10th. Well, I sent it out on the 10th, so they got it on the 12th or the 13th of last month. And so they've got it for a month right now. And we've only had two returns, and one of them they just sent the papers back. They didn't even put a cover letter on it. The other one put a cover letter on it, so I have something to write about. But nevertheless, they're subject to, and we were clear in the paperwork, they're subject to an indictment. And we'll give them that last chance, that last paper I'm going to file, respond to that letter, and copy everybody on that, and also to the other one, and give them their last chance to reconsider getting this information, this presentment to the to the justice that it was sent to. He's the one that's got to throw it into the garbage can or send it back. And if that's what he wants to do, that's fine, because then we'll just indict him too.
Well, you know what, John? They're all under a lot of duress right now. So you're just a big pain in the ass. You're just adding to the stress that they got going on. And believe me, I think that if they got a half a brain, they could see the writing on the wall.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think now they see, since the president-elect, see, these two came back to me just before the president got reelected. So they may be reconsidering it already in their minds.
Right.
So that's why I'm going to give them the opportunity.
They actually sent the paperwork back to you?
Yeah, two of them.
And they didn't answer it?
One of them is Alito's doorkeeper. I don't think Alito has seen the paper. Maybe he saw it through the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court has not sent it back. Okay? I forget the name, who the other one was. In both cases, I was surprised, because both of them were, you know, what they call, quote-unquote, the conservative ones, or the, I don't know if I can say constitutional ones. Hopefully they are the constitutional ones. And two of the nine. And but again, I don't believe they got it at all. Again, they got a problem with their doorkeepers, you know, their clerks.
Now you're talking about the Supreme Court?
United States Supreme Court, yep.
Yeah, well, you see, I think what's going on with them is they're only doing what the military tells them to do.
Well, we'll see what happens. Look, they need to
go. You know, the military's probably didn't see that paper.
Yeah, they did it. You know, we got to five of them. I know some of them are not there anymore. Some of them just got released or left or whatever the last year or so. But that didn't really matter much, because whoever filled that position is where the paper went to.
Mm-hmm.
That was the JAG. So, all right, time to go.
Anyway,
gotta go.
Yeah.
All right, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.
Yeah.